Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We are the New York Knicks. I'm back. Back in the New York.
Ooh, well, it's the Knicks.
New York.
We are the New York Knicks.
New York, New York.
New York be about the Knicks, huh?
But the best thing about New York City is
K-N-I-C-K.
Everybody say go New York, go New York, go!
Go New York, go New York, go!
Everybody, welcome to the New York Knicks podcast, episode 591, part of Dash Radio. How are you doing, Mark?
I am doing fine. How are you doing?
Doing all right, doing all right. We are just getting back from a surprising West Coast trip where the Knicks went 3-2 when we were thinking it was going to go a lot worse.
Can I tell you how the Knicks are doing right now? Thank you, Knicks Muse, for posting this. The Knicks are now 9-9. They are 5-5 versus the East. They are 4-4 versus the West. They are 1-1 in overtime. They are 14th in points per game. They are 15th in blocks, 14th in turnovers, and 8th in the East. They are as middle of the road as you can be.
I mean, we said before the season started they're about a 500 team, and they're just taking that to the most literal definition you possibly can. Middle of the road in every stat.
They are, I mean, it's so 3-2 on the West Coast trip. That was pretty awesome. I guess, like, in retrospect, even though it didn't seem so awesome when they lost to the Thunder and the Suns and the Warriors, they had a nice victory against the Thunder. And I don't know, things feel a little better because of that victory.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to decide, did they look good or was it a little bit of fool's gold because they didn't play Jokic? Maybe they lucked out a little bit with injuries.
Yeah, so they beat the Jazz. Was the Jazz in the – so I guess that was after last show, the Jazz in Denver?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, they beat Denver without Jokic, but Denver's still a very good team. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jokic is obviously amazing. The Jazz, though, have been – despite the Jazz trying to tank, they're one of the better teams in the West. That was a pretty nice victory also. I mean, the Suns and the Warriors are a pretty hard matchup. I mean, the Knicks did not look very good in those games. The Thunder, Thunder beat the Knicks the first time. That was a nice victory against the Thunder. I mean, it's not fool's gold. The Knicks are just about a 500 team.
Yeah, yeah. So, a lot of changes in the Knicks lineup. Everyone was been dogging Tibbs because he doesn't make any changes. We've seen Cam start. We've seen Grimes start. Hart has started. Sims has started. What do you think of these lineups?
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of the first of all, his first two seasons were marked by, like, well, we carved the starting lineup into stone. Hard to change stone. Like, he would not change Elfrid Payton till basically it was clearly not working in the playoffs. Last year the starting lineup was looking terrible, but, like, the most he could do was getting Kemba out of there. Burks had to be the starting point guard. It was so rigid. I like the fact that he seems so much less rigid right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He seems a lot less rigid. He seems to be mixing and matching a little bit. It seems like, his knock was he doesn't play the young guys. Rose and Fournier are just out of the rotation now.
he buried Fournier on the bench, which makes sense. I mean, like, it's just it's a move, a very not Tibbs move.
He went to nine guy rotation instead of 10. And I think for this team, that works.
I think we got an email. Do you want to read that email we have where they asked us to defend Tibbs?
Sure. First, since I have it up, I'm going to read this email first.
Okay.
The NBA season's heating up, and there are still so many unknowns this season. Will the Knicks stay 500? Will the Jazz keep playing playoff basketball? When I'm looking to get in the action, I bet with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can bet just $5 pregame money line on any NBA team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Wow, it's $150 now.
It's pretty good, actually.
Yeah. Check this out right now. Everyone can earn up to 100% boost with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook app, place a same game parlay, and combine multiple bets like which team will win, total rebounds, and more. The more legs you add, the bigger the boost, the bigger your shot to win. So I actually won over $100 on a $5 bet last week. So that
someone's bragging.
Yeah, I did a same game parlay. I combined the 7 or 8 legs. They all hit just like the last minute of the game. And
awesome.
So
that is awesome.
Download the app now. Sign up with code NYKP. Place $5 pregame moneyline bet on any NBA team to win their game. Get $150 of free bets if they do. That's code NYKP. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. All right. So that is our sponsor. Jorge writes, hey, Jay, can you please make a good argument as to why Tibbs is a good coach in the modern NBA? Also, can you finally admit Melo was 100% better than Randall?
Let's start on the Tibbs thing, and you can move on to Melo in a second.
Okay.
So I will give Tibbs gets a lot of crap. I will give him a lot of credit, though, for the fact that he is trying new things this season. He is changing lineups. He has tried people were like, he's too rigid with starting lineup. Change that. He's too he won't play Obi and Randall together. He's doing that. He's trying a lot of different things. He's benching some of the vets. He's limiting Rose's minutes, limiting Fournier's minutes, or not even giving Fournier minutes. The last two games, suddenly, especially last game, Deuce McBride was part of the rotation. I guess Rose was out.
But first guy off the bench, too.
Yeah, he's trying guys out. It looked pretty interesting having Deuce McBride out there. I wish if Deuce could play offense, he'd be such a nice player to have.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't understand what happens in the G League because he puts up like 40 a game in the G League. He's unstoppable. He gets to the pros, he can't hit a goddamn shot.
I mean, it's just different level of talent. Look what Dwight Howard's doing over in Taiwan. It's
oh, what's he doing? I don't even know. What is he doing over there?
Oh, he had a game that was like 38, 20, and 4, and I think he attempted like 10 threes and he hit 4 of them. Like apparently he's just shooting outside shots the whole time now and like going coast to coast. I'm just saying, like, when you're not in NBA competition, it's easier to put up gaudy offensive numbers.
I did watch a clip of I remember last season McBride had like a big game, like 35 points in the G League, and they had a highlight clip. And I was like, oh, so they're like, most of these are like uncontested layups. I can see how he gets all these points.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no one's, it's like the G League kind of looked like the All-Star game, basically.
Right. It's like first quarter of the All-Star game vibes over there.
Yeah. It seems to be a lot harder for him to score in the pros. But like the last night they had against OKC, at one point it was Deuce, Grimes, and IQ out there. And IQ has been playing, despite his inconsistency as hard on offense, his defense has actually been pretty good. So you had three of the better defenders on the team. It looked kind of awesome.
Yeah.
There was like every play, like basically every time OKC went down the court, the Knicks were like, no, we're taking the ball back. And then the Knicks would go down the court and just miss a shot. And they'd be like, okay, well, we're going to stop you again from scoring, but we're not going to score either.
So there's a lot of players on the team that are either really good at offense or really good at defense, and not a ton that are good at both.
We don't have what you call complete players. Who would you say is the most complete player on this team right now, if you combine their offense and their defense? Or who has the potential to be the most, maybe potential to be the most complete player?
I would say this is a really tough one. Cam Reddish.
I was going to say Grimes, but Cam also. They're the only two guys that play both sides of the court really well. Yeah. I mean, Jaylen's awesome on offense. His defense is a little lackluster, or just like because of the size and so forth. And it's not terrible defense, but most guys don't play both sides of the. Would it be crazy for a start a lineup to have we're out there with Brunson, then we're out there with Cam and Grimes in the starting unit. Move RJ to the bench. Would that be insane? Would RJ lose their mind?
They would, but Cam and Grimes stands would be super happy. Grimes is the guy with offensive, defensive, best, well-rounded player.
Yeah, I might say Grimes. Grimes is also he had a thing in the offseason where he was like, I don't want to be a 3-and-D. I don't want to be this guy who just shoots threes and plays defense. I want to be a more complete player, and I know I can be. He worked a lot with Penny Hardaway in the offseason, and his plan is to basically be in what you've seen a little more of him. He's driving to the basket. He's passing. He definitely looks a lot like – I think last year I felt like he was just like stand on the three-point line and then play defense. He now looks like I'm like, oh, this guy's going to – like he's doing a lot more.
He had 8 assists last game, right?
Against the Warrior game?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he had a bunch of assists in that game. He was it the Warrior game or my No. It's the
I'm getting all mixed up. They played so many games.
The Suns game. Yeah.
Was it four games in 5 nights or something?
Yeah. So the Suns game, he had 8 assists. He made some pretty good moves. He's setting guys up. He looked pretty good in the OKC game. His shooting isn't quite where it needs to be, but like he's also a little rusty. I think they also kind of answered what was going on with him.
They answered, you said?
But yeah, I don't know why the Knicks just didn't kind of like, it was kind of like in rumors. I don't feel like they officially announced he had plantar fasciitis.
No, they just said like, oh, there's something with his foot.
Yeah, his foot is hurting, and you'd be like, and then you'd be like, oh, his foot's better. Why is he not playing? And I thought Wally kind of explained it pretty well in the game. He was like, I had that in my career. When you have it, there's no playing through it. Mm-hmm. Either it's better or it's not. And once it's better, it's gone. But like basically, I think the idea was to put him on they thought he was better, put him on limited minutes because if it acts up again, you can get, like if you play on it, it can get worse. So put him out there for like 10 minutes, 5 minutes, play on it, see how he feels the next day. And once you know it's for sure, once you know it's really gone, then you can bring up his minutes. So I think the Knicks are being very cautious because it's something that like it can be very hard to get rid of basically. And you just kind of have to rest.
So you don't think Tibbs was personally spiting him and putting him in at the end of games just to ruin his career?
No, despite the psychotic Knicks fans on Twitter, I think it was the doctor's orders. I think they were just like, let's limit his minutes until we know this plantar fasciitis is gone. And once it's gone, it wasn't like about like him being able to run down the court. He could run down the court, but if it acts up, it won't go away.
Right. Yeah. No, I've had it before. It lingers and it sucks. And yeah, the only solution is to like ice it and like not use it.
Right. And I think basically the Knicks had like a little bit of a, and obviously there's no confirmed reports on this, but I think like, remember he played that last preseason game? I think they thought it was better, and then he went out there, and they were like, no, it's not better. Mm-hmm. And he probably also wants to get out there so much that like if he has a little bit of pain, he's probably like, oh, I can play through this, and they're like, you can't. This is not a good idea.
So now Grimes is back, and Cam got hurt.
Yeah, what's the deal with Cam's injury? He's back. Was it his groin?
Yeah. I don't think it was anything serious. They should both be healthy soon. I'm more concerned that Mitch was injured, came back, and then got injured like almost immediately. He played 13 minutes. His knee's hurting again.
I am surprised on the way to sign his multi-year deal, he didn't get injured.
So I know we've talked about how Mitch hasn't missed a ton of games, but he seems to play a lot of games injured. And it's just like last game, it counts as a game played, but he played 13 minutes and then hobbled off the court.
He wasn't very good either, and I blame the injury, but like, it's going to be like this with him. That's why you also need Sims on the roster.
Yeah, my multi-game parlay, I went wild and bet 6 points on Mitch, and he ended up with 3. So, I how do you feel about Mitch with the emergence of Sims? Like, are you happy that we have both, or do you think now it's like, because now we have Hart too, so it's pretty deep center rotation.
Just to add, Tibbs said a couple of days ago that Reddish is expected to be day-to-day. With the groin injury. So he probably will be back in a few games. I feel like with basically a couple things. First, with how basically made of glass Mitch is and how he gets injured, you need Sims on the roster. I also feel like Mitch has been better about fouls, but he gets foul trouble. Hart gets in foul trouble clearly. Having three centers you can really play is super important to this team. And Sims has looked a lot better lately.
He has. Conversely, Hart's looked a lot worse. So, and I think Tibbs has noticed that. Sims has seemed to jump him in the rotation.
Yeah. I mean, well, it depends. I feel like Hart's been getting – I've noticed that Tibbs will, like, if Hart's not playing well, he'll just give the minutes to Sims. He's definitely being – he's, again, doing a much better job of going, I'm just going to go with how they're playing as opposed to, like – they have to play. Like, you have to play based on these rotations.
Except Randall and RJ.
Yeah. So, okay. So, basically, going to finish that email off, is Tibbs for the modern NBA? I mean, he doesn't really value the three-point. The thing is also the covering of the three-point line looked a lot better when he had Grimes out there. When he has guys who can play defense, it looks a lot better. Part of the issue with the three-point line is Randall is pretty lackluster on D, and so is RJ. And they, like, when they're out there, it's really hard when a bunch of your guys on your team don't give a lot of effort on defense. Or just get lost on defense too.
It's infectious too.
Right. I have to say, like, the as much crap as people give on Randall, RJ's been pretty lackluster on defense. Like, it's not like he's done a great job either. And I think that's also hurts the team a lot.
It does, because I mean, Brunson tries, but he has limitations on defense. So if Randall and RJ are both also stinking, you're not going to win a lot of games with 60% of your lineup being bad.
There was a thing, content creator on Twitter would put up a video of a guy basically, I forget who was on the OKC, but kind of breaking to the basket, and Randall makes little attempt to guard him at the basket, and he's like, first of all, I don't know why you're posting negative content about Randall or anyone else. If the Knicks have a pretty good win and Randall plays pretty well. But I was like, I looked at the clip that he posted and I'm like, yeah, the guy going to the basket, RJ just watched the guy run right by him and did nothing. Why are you singling out Randall for this play? RJ did terrible on that play also. It was the whole defense broke down the play. Like,
There was one play where Giddey went just coast to coast along the side and then just ran along the baseline and got a layup and nobody stopped him the entire way.
I think this is the play. Yeah. The same play. Yeah.
That was Giddey.
I think it must be Giddey. Yeah. I feel like you can bash Randall for his defense, but it's not like he's alone in playing poor defense.
No, he's definitely not alone with that. It's been an issue, which is weird for a Tibbs team. And, yeah, I'm surprised that he's not yanking Randall and Barrett and just saying, like, you know.
More often.
Yeah, just even if it's for, like, 2 minutes, just be like, look, every time you slack off on a play, I'm going to pull you out.
It is frustrating that he does not hold guys accountable as much as he should. Obviously, people get a lot of people complain in particular about the fact that he does not hold Randall accountable. Why do you think he doesn't hold Randall accountable more so than other players?
I mean, everyone was questioning what was going on last season. Maybe he's super moody and super emotional, and he's worried he's going to go off the rails.
Yeah.
You think that's a possibility that like he's a wild card and he doesn't want to set him off?
Yeah, maybe he's like, I got to coach this guy differently because, like, to get the best out of him, I cannot treat him like everyone else.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
we.
Some players are a lot more emotional and a lot less receptive to criticisms.
Yeah, and so maybe he's telling him, you got to play defense. And Randall thinks he's. Sometimes Randall does.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he doesn't. I don't know. Sometimes he gives good effort. His offense has been a lot better this season. Like, no question he's playing a better offense.
Yeah, definitely. I would like to still see him. I mean, everybody on the team I would like to see move the ball around a little more. I feel like a lot of the guys get tunnel vision.
There's not a lot of off, like, and I guess it's hard to make the argument about Tibbs being a modern NBA coach in the sense of, like, he doesn't give a modern offense. There's not a lot of movement, a lot of cutting off the ball. And mm-hmm. I find that very frustrating.
Yeah, you watch Golden State, and it's just the ball is flying all over the place. And, you know, I know they have elite players, but even when their bench goes in, it looks the same. They're swinging the ball around. There's guys doing cuts, baseline drives, and these are deep bench guys that are still doing it. So, I would say Tibbs is a good coach, but he's not a great coach.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine if the Knicks move on from him, but I don't know if if you hire anyone else, they're gonna be that much better with this roster. But they could be better with the offense, especially. The roster is limited partly by the players and their willingness to like play defense, like Randall, I guess.
And as far as the other part of the question, I admit Melo's 100% better than Randall. I will not say 100% better. Melo was really, really good, but I think people are forgetting how bad he also was on defense. People are focusing on Randall.
Melo's better than Randall. I mean, like, you can kind of just...
Melo's better. I'm not... But, like, I don't know. People are making, like, it's, like, so, so much better. Like, Melo was better, but I'll admit Melo's better than Randall, but I'm not going to go... I'm not going to say he was, like, light years better.
Oh, by the way, so this is Randall's numbers since in November. Just like he was okay in October. For 12 games in November, Randall was 48% from the field, 36% from three,
decent,
70 almost 79% from free throws,
pretty good.
True shooting percentage of 61%, mm-hmm. 22 points, 8.5 rebounds, 2.8 assists.
Okay, I mean, if we could get the assists up to like four.
I mean, assists also. I mean, part of it's that like the offensive ball is not going through him as much.
There's no shooters on the team too, so like. Part of a big man getting assists is penetrating, posting up, and then swinging it out to the three-point shooter who the best three-point shooter is not playing anymore. So,
but I think you have to say, like, his numbers on offense are exactly what you're looking for, basically.
Yeah.
At least, like, in November, these are pretty efficient numbers. These are pretty solid numbers.
And
these
the turnovers aren't as bad either.
Yeah, the turnovers aren't as bad. He's been playing pretty. I mean, the turnovers aren't amazing. I mean, not amazing, but he's been playing pretty well. The problem is on the defensive end.
He's fine on offense. Yeah. He's fine on offense.
There's so much Randall hate out there. I find like you can trash Randall after the team loses and you have a bad night, but I don't know if you can completely kill him for everything this season because the whole team's not playing defense except for a few guys. And his offense has been, like, on many nights lately, he's one of the few guys that can score and mm-hmm. score efficiently.
Yeah.
So I feel like people are giving him a little bit too much crap. Do you think people are overrating Obi just because of their hate for Randall?
Yes, 100%. And I like Obi. I'm not convinced that he's – you know, he hasn't shown much other than being able to go on a fast break – and catch lobs and he hits the baseline three. He does those two things exceptionally well. But in like a half court offense, he doesn't really do much. Defensively, he's not better than Randall. So I don't know. If he can shoot some mid-range shots or like do anything in a half court offense, I'd be more convinced.
So I saw a funny discussion on Reddit. I just thought this was funny. Someone was talking about John Collins, and they were saying you've watched Collins play. So Collins is not great at creating his own shot, but he's good around the rim. He's a good rebounder. He's a good scorer, not a great three-point shooter. But generally, he's a good contributor. You have got other guys who are more like ball dominant. He's a good addition to the team and can, you know, Atlanta's somewhat looking to move on from him. But they were making a point about Collins being a guy that like can fit in well with an offense, even though he can't create his own shot. And so someone responded like, yeah, they're like, well, Obi can get where Collins is like in 3 or 4 years. And then someone else responded, yeah, Collins is Obi's 6 months younger than Collins.
Right, yeah. Obi was like an older rookie.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, I mean, I guess Obi can get where Collins is, but Collins is basically the same age. So I don't know how much – maybe he can also get there.
Yeah, I mean, Obi's already 2 years older than Barrett.
There's a good chance Obi's close to where he's going to be as a player. Like, how much better does he get?
He's going to have to add stuff to his game. And
he's going to add a – do you think he'll ever be able to create his own shot on a consistent basis?
See, here's my worry. So a lot of people are saying Barrett's only 22. He's really young.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of time to grow. True. On the other hand, it's his fourth year in the league. If you look at his rookie year stats and his current stats, almost exactly the same. Now, if you look at other fourth year players.
In fairness. Mm-hmm. He was sick for 5 games. Mm-hmm. Those stats don't count. When you don't count the stats when he's sick or when he shoots poorly, he has good stats.
I mean, even if you compare his year 3 stats, look at other players that are supposed to be in his league, you know, Garland and Donovan Mitchell or whoever you want to compare him to. There's clear improvement year to year. And I don't see that from Barrett. Barrett started off good, but he hasn't moved the needle from good in 3 years. And that's
you haven't heard about the year 5 jump?
I mean, I think like 2 players have done that. I mean, I'm just saying it's not very common in the NBA for a player to basically flatline for 4 years, or even 3, and then all of a sudden like get really, really good. So Barrett might just be a good player and not what we were hoping.
Yeah, so his 2-point percentage shooting is getting a little better. His free throw shooting is getting a little better. Little. He's being a little better about finishing around the rim, except for those 5 games when he was terrible, when he was sick, and probably should not. His minutes should have been limited in those games. Yeah, I don't know. Do you like the ceiling on RJ? Maybe he's just a good, solid player. And I wasn't trying to knock him by putting him on the bench unit. I think you just look interesting to see him with more minutes. I think maybe we split up the Randall, like less Randall and RJ together. It might be helpful.
Yeah, because I think they're both better when they're the focal point of the offense. And so if you make RJ the leader of the bench, it might work out better for both.
I'm still talking about him getting like 30 minutes a game, mm-hmm. and Randall also, but they don't have to be like,
stagger their minutes.
Yeah, they can be a little more 15 minutes separated. And I think it'd be interesting to see the offense with Grimes and Cam together. Mm-hmm. I know they're both in theory threes or two. Like you can put Grimes at the 2. It would be nice to have 2 guys out there that play very solid defense. Both are pretty athletic. They can shoot the 3. I think the offense would look pretty interesting with both of them out there.
Yeah,
and maybe they can complement. It'd be interesting to have Hart out there with them. I don't know, but maybe an interesting look to have them out there, maybe with RJ separate, with Randall separate. I'd like to see what it looks like at least.
And I'm not saying RJ is terrible. It's just with the number 3 pick, you're hoping for an all-star.
Right. And Obi, I just feel like Obi is a little, much as we'd like him to be, and I know I've said before, I wouldn't mind Knicks move on from Randall and just start Obi. But I think the more I watch him, the more I feel like I'm lying to myself if I think he can really be an NBA starter.
I feel like we would be totally happy with Obi if he was like the 25th pick. But as a top 10 pick, it's, again, the Knicks get great value later in the draft, and they've gotten less than ideal value with their higher picks for since what, Jordan Hill?
Well, my point, forgetting even that where he was drafted or who he was drafted over, if you look at his skill set, playing power forward, he's not the best defender. He's not a great rebounder. He can't create his own shot. He can dunk, and he can go on the fast break, but he's also not good. If you give him the ball around the basket, if he's being challenged at the rim, he's not great at finishing. He's only great at finishing if no one's challenging him at the rim.
Right. I mean,
he doesn't really have post moves.
No, but he's so fast. He's not challenged at the rim a lot just because he gets down the floor before everybody. So
he was 2 for 11 versus OKC. He was challenged a couple times at the rim and just didn't look very good when he was challenged.
Yeah.
He missed some easy shots, or what should have been easy shots. His 3-point shooting is tremendously improved.
Yeah, he definitely worked on that. That's been huge. That's keeping him on the court.
He's a very useful player. I just still think he might be a guy that like provides energy off the bench and some nights needs. Like I think everyone's correct. Why is he only playing 15 minutes? Why is he only playing 20? Like 18 minutes, maybe 18 to 20 minutes is the right amount of minutes for him.
Yeah,
I know everyone saw what he did last year with IQ in those last 10 games, but those were kind of against, for the most part, those were kind of G League games. Like they're not indicative of what like it would be like for him playing every day as like 30 minute a game player.
The last 10 games of the season are so weird because you got teams that are locked in their playoff spot and they're just kind of coasting to the rest of the season, or you got teams that are so far out of the playoffs they really don't care anymore. So like, it's great that IQ and Obi played well, but I don't think the last 10 games of the season are a good gauge of what they would do in the heat of a season.
So we've gone pretty far in the show. You know what we haven't really talked about? We have not talked about the fact, I mean, of the brightest of the bright spots. Brunson is still looking goddamn awesome and is a borderline all-star.
Brunson? So what is this team's record without Brunson?
I saw someone like on Twitter, and I spent too much time on Nick's Twitter, but just like being like saying that Brunson somehow was holding RJ back, or Brunson was not a great, like, not, I don't know how anyone could knock Brunson and be a Knicks fan. He looks goddamn awesome. Knicks are 9-9 with their record 4-14, 5-13. Like,
yeah, I think they're 5-13 without Brunson. Like, he's been huge. Yeah, it's like the Knicks haven't had a good point guard in like 20 years. We finally got one, and everyone's like, well, now he's holding players back. And like, I don't agree with that at all.
I think he's such a great addition to your team. He can play with the ball or without the ball. He's great off the ball also. He played off the ball with Doncic. He can get points when he needs to. I know maybe some people are criticizing him for taking too many shots. If you look around the guys he's got to pass to, I'd be taking a lot of shots also if I was Brunson.
Yeah, he did play a little bit of hero ball against the Thunder yesterday, but he hit like almost all those shots. So,
he hit some crazy. He's got, I don't know why he can't shoot threes, because his touch around, his touch within like 15 feet of the basket is crazy good.
Yeah.
He also came close to tying the record for most free throws consecutive. I think he hit like 40 something free throws in a row, but did not hit, not equal Courtney Lee's record. He's a great shooter.
I have no complaints with Brunson, really. Like, I don't know what people were expecting, but I feel like he's met every expectation for him.
Yeah, it's not, and he hits guys when they're cutting. I mean, just, it's not his fault that the offense is not emphasizing cutting. Mm-hmm. But I think he's doing a great job. If I had to think about where I'd want to pair him with, I feel like it'd be nice to pair him with a guy like another point guard, even who can play some defense. Maybe the guy that the Hawks got would have been a pretty good addition to pair with him.
Yeah, Murray would have been quite an excellent pairing.
They would have been great pairing to have together. I mean, I like the idea of having two guys that can really handle the ball and run the offense together.
Andrew said he'll improve it.
Brunson's been awesome. What do you say?
Andrew said he'll improve at threes. Yeah, I tend to agree. He's shot below his career average. So it'll also help his three-point shot if the Knicks have other threats around him.
Yeah.
You know, if you do that Grimes Cam lineup, then you have threats at the three-point line down the line, and that opens up the floor a lot.
I think the Knicks are currently the worst three-point shooting team in the NBA, which is the modern offense that Leon Rose has built.
I mean, I didn't check in the before last game, but the game before that, the Knicks had one player shooting above average from the three-point line. Everybody else was below.
That one player being...
I mean, I'm not going to count Svi because he was like 3 for 3, but...
Yeah. Who is... I don't even know who's above average right now. I know is it Cam?
I think it was Cam.
I mean, Grimes had just got back, so I'd probably you wouldn't count him anyway. Currently, the Knicks are second to the last. Only the Lakers being worse, and they are shooting 31.6% from three.
Awesome.
The Nuggets, who the Knicks beat, are shooting 40% from three. Cleveland's shooting 39%. It's a lot easier to win games if you can hit some three-point shots.
Yeah, it sure is.
Not a lot of teams in the top. Everyone that's near like the top 10 are all a pretty good team. If you can shoot threes, and if you can't shoot threes, it's some of the worst teams in the NBA. Oh. Milwaukee can't shoot threes either. But
Obi. Oh, we forgot. Obi was the one shooting.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Obi's the one guy. Shockingly, in this reverse earth we're playing in, we're living in, Obi's the best three-point shooter on the team.
So he had a couple bad games. He's down to 36%, so it's slightly 36.5% and 36% average. So, yeah, he went really cold during the West Coast trip.
That's a lot worse than I thought. He was still a little higher. I guess he's back down to earth.
Yeah, Derrick Rose is at 37%. Everybody else is, other than Svi, is well below.
On Facebook, on Twitter, Jake writes, 3-2 West Coast trip isn't bad. Why does it feel like the sky is falling?
I think people talk themselves into higher expectations. First of all, we talked about Barrett before. I think a lot of Knicks fans talk themselves into him making this huge leap based on nothing. They just went into the season like, oh yeah, Barrett's going to be awesome this year. And it wasn't really based on anything. And I think when they saw what Brunson was doing the first few games, they're like, well, Barrett's going to be awesome. Obi has a three-point shot now. Brunson's really good. And, you know, you can't overreact to the first few games of the season. So I think people raised the bar from what they expected from the Knicks when not much changed from preseason to now.
I mean, really, we added Brunson and nothing else to the roster. So well, there was no Hart. Reason to think of... What did you say?
Hart.
Oh, Hart. Yeah. But we didn't add that much to the roster. The Knicks won 37 games last year. With a point guard, we're maybe a 500 or slightly better team. And obviously, Randall's playing a little better. I mean, in theory, if Tibbs figures out maybe the right rotations and Grimes takes a little bit of a leap, Cam plays well, maybe the Knicks win 43 games, 44 games. Where they go from here, I have no idea. But it does feel like every time the Knicks lose, the sky is falling. Every time they win, everything's right. Everything's fine.
It's also that when they lose, like, they don't lose a lot of close games. They just get blown out, and everybody on the team looks terrible. And that's
like
different.
Dog shit against Golden State.
Yeah.
After that game, you're like, what the hell?
Yeah, it didn't even look like they belonged in the same league as Golden State. And I think that also helps with the overreactions, because like, you see a team just get slaughtered from the second the game starts. You're like, okay, there's a lot of problems.
Phoenix outclassed them also, no question.
Mm-hmm. I mean, these are very good teams. It's just you kind of expect to at least stay semi-competitive.
How do we become a very good team? Like, how do we get there?
Without a time machine?
I mean, it really comes down to you have to draft players who end up taking big leaps. The fact that RJ is not like taking any leap and seems like he's just a good player. The fact that they have no one, maybe Grimes will end up taking a big leap. Maybe like I've seen some interesting stuff already. Maybe Grimes is one of the guys that will, like, each year will get a lot better. And like in a few years, he maybe will be all-star level player. I don't know.
So they've gotten good value from where they've drafted later in the draft, Grimes, Sims. The problem is they need to hit a home run and they have not done that yet. There's a difference between good value and absolutely nailing the pick, getting a, you know, a Jokic, a Kawhi, a Giannis. Like, I know those, there's not many of them around, but they've been drafted later in the draft. It's not like only the top five picks are studs. They need to nail a draft pick like that, and they just haven't yet.
Donovan Mitchell was like what, the 12th pick or something like that. These guys do fall. It's hard to say right now who the Knicks just punted on a draft pick. They didn't even draft anyone this past year. I guess they drafted Trevor Keel from the second round. Doesn't really matter, but they drafted on the 11th pick in the draft. I don't know if between 11 and 30, there's anyone that's amazing, but maybe there is. We're going to find out. AJ Griffin on the Hawks, who I wanted the Knicks to draft, looks pretty good. He's a pretty good shooter. Knicks could use pretty good shooters.
Yeah, it's you can't just keep missing on Shea, missing on Mitchell. You can't do that year after year. Like, they have to nail one of these draft picks, or they have a lot of young guys that are decent, but they don't have the guy, and they need to get that guy. And they're capped out. It's going to be really hard to sign a guy in free agency or trade for one. They have to draft one.
Right. It's a really hard thing to trade your half your roster and all your assets for one star player without having another star player on the team already. Mm-hmm. The Cleveland made the move. They already had a pretty good setup to add Mitchell too, and they could sacrifice the draft picks. Knicks just aren't there.
Yeah, that was their all-in move, which it was time to do that. To make an all-in move without a team like that, because that was a playoff team before Mitchell, so to do an all-in move without a setup like that is just, it's going to be Melo all over again.
Right. I mean, they have Garland. They have Mobley, who looks really good. They have Jared Allen.
Yeah.
It was like, you could be like, hey, let's add one more guy. We can sacrifice the draft for this. Yeah. It's worth it. Knicks, like, I mean, you're adding, if you get to keep them in the trade, you're adding, you got RJ, who's fine. I mean, maybe Grimes will get a little better. No one even wants Randall on the team anymore. I like Brunson a lot, but I feel like you have to they have to nail a pick in the draft. It's really hard to improve this team without doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's very few teams who are really good without drafting one all-star level player on their own. Who's a good team right now that didn't draft at least one player that's an all-star? I mean, I guess you could say the Nets, because they brought over Durant.
I mean, I think the only team in the last 20, 25 years who's won a championship without drafting one of their top guys was the Lakers 2 years ago. And that's different because it's L.A. and they always get all the free agents, and they happen to get LeBron and Davis. And so, like,
yeah, if LeBron, like, LeBron's a high enough level of player that he decides to come there, fine.
But like every single other team for the last 20 years has drafted somebody.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the NBA standings right now, like, just look at who the best teams are. It's easy to see everyone's drafting a player. The Celtics, two of their best players they drafted. Milwaukee, they drafted Giannis. Cleveland got Mobley, and they got Garland on their own. It's just the drafting. Pacers in fourth, but Pacers are really, I guess they made the trade for Haliburton, who looks pretty good. I'm just looking at down the records.
Isn't like Buchamp playing like incredible right now for them?
Yes, he's playing. He's so playing really good. What's his name?
Buchamp, I think. Buchamp.
That's right.
Buchamp. I don't know. I'm probably mispronouncing it, but you know what I'm talking about.
I'm talking about the rookie they got. Yeah. It's not Buchamp. It's a
prime master name.
It is, as I Google, let me figure it out. What the hell is this guy's name? It's definitely not like that. Sounds nothing like his name.
No.
No, it's not.
Oh, Mathurin.
Mathurin, yes. But Bennett Mathurin. He's been playing great. Yeah, they drafted him. You go to the West Coast, like, go to the West. I mean, the Jazz actually have the best record right now, and I don't think they have anyone they drafted.
That probably won't last. But anyway,
Suns obviously have Booker. But anyway, everyone gets the point. General point. Johnny Guitar writes, culture isn't just defined by the playing, the group, and the coaching staff solely. Also, the fan culture needs to change if we expect the team to move forward. Rising tides. I'm tired of giving up on players in the short term when it's the whole gearbox that drives the car. The reason no one wants to play for us. The reason no one wants to play for us is us. Do you think the fans turn on players too fast? And do you think that makes it harder to build in New York?
I think there is a large portion of the fan base that turns on players too fast. I don't think that's why it's too hard to build in New York. I think the front office has made so many bad decisions. It doesn't even matter who's in the front office. We can go through every front office since we started this podcast, and they've all made so many bad mistakes. That's why it's hard to build in New York.
I don't know. The Knicks look pretty good for a decade with Patrick Ewing because they drafted Patrick Ewing. The Knicks can be like, say, and the fan base kind of turned on Ewing at times, but like the Knicks can build a good team. You just need a better front office. You can't blame the fans for poor drafting or poor. Every guy we sign in free agency, every guy we sign to a long-term deal, we want to get rid of immediately. Like, I mean, that's, I guess the fans are getting frustrated with players, but also we signed some frustrating players also.
Evan Fournier,
you could, fans get turned on him, but like he's also not been that good.
Yeah, it's also, I think it's worse now because it's just been so miserable. Like, even when they make the playoffs, it's been like we won one playoff game and that's it. Like, at least in the 90s, even though they weren't winning championships, they were going deep into the playoffs every year. So it's easier to stomach some of these things.
Social media also plays a huge, like, it just basically amplifies the negativity.
Yeah.
If you're a player, you go on social media, because like it's one thing to hear, like, it's not like the fans are booing you at the stadium, in arena. You go on social media, Knicks fans are like just crazy people.
Yeah.
Keith writes on Facebook, it's Hardenstein stunting Sims's development.
I wouldn't say that. I think they bring different things to the table. Like, Hart's more of an outside guy. Sims is under the rim. I just think it's unfortunate that you have Mitchell and Jericho as like kind of redundant at this point.
I think we're gonna have one guy injured all the time. I'm fine having the three centers, especially because Sims is on the cheap right now. And Hart was actually a pretty good contract. And Mitch's contract isn't really insane. Sims is showing improvement. I don't know if Hart really is stunting his development. Let's also not – we don't immediately need to give Sims 35 minutes a game. It's fine if he plays 15 minutes. If he doesn't play some nights because Hart's playing well, it'll work out.
The good thing is if Sims breaks out and he's awesome, then you could trade Robinson or Hart.
If you can trade them.
I think you could trade either one of those guys.
Okay. Angel writes, is Mitch's value, like, rest? Like, other teams will say, like, his contract's not so bad, but he's also injured all the time and doesn't play offense still and doesn't always look awesome on the court.
There's plenty of teams that just need a big body. You think Dallas wouldn't jump at that? They have, like, no big men.
Angel writes, Mitch's contract is not that bad. I'm fine with their center rotation. Tibbs has said most nights he'll play just two of them. Yeah, let's feel it out. Let's see how it goes. So far he seems to be going with that's just who's playing well. Angel writes, is it panic time yet? What moves can the Knicks make before the trading deadline to really make a statement that the Knicks are going for a deep playoff run?
Well, it's not panic time yet. They're 9-9. They went 3-2 on a West Coast trip that we thought they were either going to go 0-5 or 1-4 on. So I think they're okay as far as that goes. I think the things to panic about are lack of some players' development, the fact that the defense just looks terrible, even though we have a defensive coach. And there doesn't seem to really be much of an offensive scheme. Those are things to really worry about.
The defense, look, when you had players that play defense out there, it looked a lot better.
It did.
IQ's defense has been pretty bad, much better this year. Having Grimes back makes a huge difference. Cam has looked good when he's out there. Maybe he can't convince RJ to play better defense, and maybe RJ can't play better defense. I don't know. He can't convince Randall to try every play. But the defense doesn't look so bad if the personnel is out there. And to a certain extent, is it that Tibbs is screwing up defense, or is the personnel screwing him up?
So if RJ and Randall are both incapable of playing good defense, and they're both similar players on offense, you got to move one of them.
Yes. The move that makes sense is moving on from Randall. You just signed RJ. He's younger. He can get better.
Yeah.
Randall's the guy you want to move on from. It's just, what does Randall have? 2 more years? 3 more years?
I think 3.
Cool. The Knicks have also, the front office has had the opportunity. They could always have, like, done the Westbrook trade and cut Westbrook. They could have always done something.
Mm-hmm.
And the Knicks really haven't made a strong effort to get rid of him. Because they want something for him. I don't know.
I think they really like him. Even if you look at all the promos, it's Randall's face everywhere. You don't even see RJ on the promos.
They seem to really like, there's something like when the Knicks were scouting Brunson, they brought Randall to see him play. I think the front office really believes in Randall.
Yeah, I do too.
So there's been talk the Knicks are shopping around or open to listing for Obi and IQ. And the rumor is that they just don't want to pay them in the offseason. Not that they have to pay them this offseason. They could wait a whole other season.
Yeah.
What do you think about the fact the Knicks are like, now we're going to shop some of our young players?
I mean, I think you'd be better off shopping Rose and Fournier.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Fournier is bad on defense, but for a team that just has their stuff together and just needs a guy to jack up threes off the bench, like Golden State right now, you don't think they could use a Fournier?
He's got to have more value than this. His contract's hard to move, I guess, because you also don't. But, like, he's got 1 more year left, I think, after this. There's got to be a way to move Fournier.
It's big, but it's not crazy. Thank you, Andrew. Wow, Randall has 2 years after this, then player option for 2020.
You mean he has 3 years?
Yeah, he has 3 years.
Ooh, do I want to exercise this player option? Let me think about this. 40 has got to be movable. I don't.
And I think you sell high on Rose right now because I think they're playing on with borrowed money on Rose. The wheels are going to fall off soon. I think you sell high on Rose.
The Knicks traded Dennis Smith to get him. I don't think he has that much value right now. I'd rather just keep him on the team. He's a guy who's all in on Tibbs. He plays hard. He can give you some nice minutes at times. I am totally fine with keeping Rose on the team. I think if you want to win games this year, I think you just keep Rose.
Fournier has 1 more year than a team option. But with Rose, like, anytime he plays, he's taking minutes from either Grimes or McBride or Cam. So, like,
I think it's fine. It'll work itself out. Guys get injured. Rose brings something on them. When he does play, he's had a bad stretches of late, but usually he does bring something. If we're serious about going to the playoffs and having a good year, I think you keep Rose on the team.
All right.
I don't think. What do you think you get for him? What are you getting for him? Like,
I have no idea. I don't know what the market is for anybody. This team is so hard to gauge. Like, everyone's so up and down. I never know who's going to show up from night to night. The players look awesome one night; they look washed up the next night. I have no idea what to make of this team.
I think other teams will look at Rose and go, like, he's about to get injured. He's not giving us a ton. He's having not a great year for the Knicks. Like, I think he has more value to us than we have. These guys are only worth trading if you're going to get a player of value or get a first round pick for them. And I don't know, like, and maybe you can get a first round pick for Obi or IQ, but I also don't know why trade these guys? Like, you have them. Like, you don't have to give them like a long term deal next year, off season. You could just say, "Hey, well, you can let them go to a restricted free agency the following year."
Mm-hmm. That's what I would.
Like,
do.
You don't have to. I mean, that's what they should have done with. Like, in retrospect, they probably should have done that with RJ because they probably should have seen what RJ did this year.
Mm-hmm.
With Randall, they could have waited an extra year.
Yeah,
you don't have to get out in front of signing these contracts,
right? And you don't have to trade them either.
Yeah. I mean, like, you could have also just said, I know Randall had an all-star year. Let's just see what he does next year. And if he's awesome, we'll just overpay him.
Teams really, really panic about that. I mean, look what OKC did with Harden. They didn't want to wait 1 year to see if he developed, and they just traded him and, like, blew up a dynasty pretty much.
If they were scared of, like, paying the, like, going to the luxury tax. The Knicks are already capped. I just don't see a real reason to move on from Obi, or I think the Knicks will give you enough value. I don't know what you're trying to do with this team, basically. Like, why would you trade away the young players? There's not much on this team you're going to trade away the young players.
Nothing seems to be clear. The team construction, the long-term plan, none of it seems to... I'm hoping one day we'll be like, oh, I get it now, but, like, I don't understand what they're doing right now.
I get it now. Leon's not good at his job. In fairness, most of Rose's moves aren't announced ahead of time, so you get surprised. So maybe they're just gauging value. Maybe they're simply like asking teams what they would get for these players just to have an awareness of what they're worth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, fielding calls could mean anything. Like, somebody could have called and they just answered the phone, you know?
Yeah, maybe they're like some team, maybe they'll say something stupid to us and be like, oh, you're giving us two firsts for Obi. Can we sign that deal right now before you sober up?
Right, right.
Terry writes, we seem to have an overload of guys worthy of playing time. To trim the fat, who stays, who goes, or do you think the team is fine as is?
I feel bad for Fournier because he was saying, like, if he gets traded, he just can't see his family and he's got a kid and, like, I don't know.
Why can't his family? I guess he doesn't want to move his family.
Right.
Okay.
So I feel bad, but I feel like he's probably the guy that you want to move.
Trade him to Brooklyn. There's nothing to move.
I feel like with the guards, you want to get rid of one and get a future compensation because there's a logjam anyway.
Where's the logjam? Everyone's saying we have to consolidate. I don't really see a huge logjam here. Maybe I'm missing something, but it hasn't been a major. The only guy that people really are complaining about you have some case for is limiting. Like, Obi hasn't got a great amount of minutes, but otherwise, who's not playing? Where's the logjam, Jay?
Grimes was injured. So now that Grimes is back, you're trying to find minutes for Grimes, Cam. You know Brunson's going to play a ton of minutes, and you have IQ. Yeah. You still got Rose, Fournier, like McBride. That's a lot of guys.
It's really not a lot of guys because we solved Fournier. He doesn't play. You can just trade him. Rose does not need a lot of minutes.
Trade somebody?
Well, I'm saying if you're going to trade someone, trade Fournier. I guess you could trade Rose. McBride, let him earn some minutes, see how it goes. It's not like it's not like McBride, you're like, oh my God, I can't play this guy, and he's so good on offense. His defense is nice, but, like, what's going to hold McBride back is he can't play defense. He can't play offense. Until he can hit some shots consistently, it's hard to play him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like what I've seen from him, but I'm not, like, going crazy that the Knicks have to play this guy. Aren't most NBA teams supposed to have 15 good players? The Knicks are like, we have 10 guys who might need minutes. What are we going to do?
I don't know. I feel like it's just a weird construction right now. You usually have guys that are clearly the better guys, and I don't think the Knicks have that. And
right, but that has nothing to do with consolidating or moving guys. Like, also, the guy like Savi or whoever else we have on the bench, Ryan, whatever, it's a pretty negative. Those guys are just worthless. I mean, not worthless, but they're just not like – they're not players that need minutes because they're not good. They're scrubs, basically, in terms of NBA. The Knicks should have – their 12, 13, and 14 guys should be guys that, like, are going to challenge their 7, 8, and 9 guys for minutes.
Speed shooting 100% from three this season. I feel like he's there. He's ready.
I want the 14th guy on the bench to justify needing minutes. That's what a good team does. They have a deep team that where lots of guys – yes, you're right. You need to have – guys 1 through 5 who are just so much better than everyone else that it makes sense that the other guys don't play as much.
Yeah.
Also, I don't see maybe you can get some value for Fournier. Rose, just because he's been with Tibbs for so long, I think you might as well just keep him. I don't see like, let's just see how it works out for the season. Guys will get injured. See how it works out for the season as far as the minutes distribution. Like, how about just see who plays better than the other guys? If Grimes is playing better, he takes minutes away from someone else.
See, normally you'd have that extra spot for the first round draft pick that you picked with the 11th pick.
The Knicks are, yes, they're an oddly constructed team with too many. There are a lot of issues with the Knicks, obviously.
Anyway, are we out of questions?
We are out of questions. Let me ask you, what else do I want to ask you? I don't know what I want to ask. What do you think of the so far what you've seen of Obi and Randall playing together? That's something people have been calling on for a long time. We've seen it for a certain extent. Are you wowed by it? Are the Knicks really looking good on small ball?
I'm not wowed by it, but it's not bad. It's what you'd expect. The offense is really good. The defense is not.
I feel like the offense isn't as good as I'd hoped it would be.
Yeah, I mean,
but I don't think the Knicks are having a tremendous advantage on offense when Obi's out there with Randall.
Right, right. Well, right now Obi is you know either fast break or a 3-point guy. Like, he doesn't bring a lot to an offense right now.
Right. Yeah, I feel like that's like I'm watching it. I'm like, is this so amazing if he's not really doing fast breaks? Because that's his one, or shooting a ton of threes. Those are his two tricks.
I mean, maybe you do it if the other team goes small and that's your small ball counter. But I would rather see one of the big guys out there.
Yeah, I mean the Knicks have not been great on the defensive boards this year, so. But anyway, Brunson's awesome. I freaking love Brunson.
Very,
he's my
very
favorite
happy
Nick right
with
now.
Brunson.
What do you say?
Very, very happy with Brunson.
I feel like this is, if you were to rank the best moves by Leon Rose, Brunson is by far the best move he's made.
Yes. Yes.
What's the second best move he's made?
That would be, I think he got good value with Sims.
I was going to say maybe drafting Grimes. He's of the young guys. Mm-hmm. I feel like I put Grimes first among that pack.
Yeah. That's okay. Those are the three.
But Grimes, Sims. I would put IQ ahead of Sims.
Okay.
You're right that there's greater value with Sims, I guess, with where he was drafted.
I'm not sold on IQ yet. We'll see.
You don't like a guy who a really good shooter who can't shoot?
I mean, we're on year three now, three or four, and he can't hit a shot.
Have you noticed, though, he does everything else pretty well?
He does.
His defense is actually pretty good. He's actually not a bad passer. He's a good player in many respects if he can put the ball into the back. He's done, last two games, he's been better.
I didn't say I'm out. I just said I'm not sold.
Is anyone who outside of I'm sold on Brunson being good? Are you sold on anyone else?
No, I'm really not. I mean,
it's a frustrating team.
I'm not really out on anybody either. I'm 500 on this roster.
How you go from 500, if they even get there, to a 50 plus win team? I don't know. I don't necessarily regret the Mitchell not trading for Mitchell, but I don't know how you get there without getting lucky in the draft.
Yeah, it's either that or multiple guys are going to have to take actual leaps, not these incremental things we've seen before. You're going to have to go in the lab and you come out and IQ, Grimes, RJ, and Cam are all like significantly better, and Obi significantly better. That's the only way now. They're capped out and they're too good to have a really good draft pick. So unless they get super lucky in the draft, these guys are going to have to all take leaps.
I'm going to call it now. So Grimes is the one guy the Knicks really didn't want to put in the Donovan Mitchell trade.
Yeah.
They were fine putting RJ in. They would not put Grimes. Mm-hmm. I think Grimes by the end of the season will be like, I guess I think he'll make, he's just only just started playing, but I think we will be comfortable with him saying that this guy is a core piece going forward. I don't know if he's going to be. I think we will say by the end of the year he's made a leap, or at some point this year he'll make.
I hope so. So we'll end the show on a stat from Andrew. Zvi is averaging 27.7 points per 36 minutes, and he has an offensive rating of 133.
So he has basically the stats that people dream RJ would get?
That's like prime Wilt Chamberlain stats.
Zvi is really good. I don't know why the Knicks aren't building around Zvi. Okay.
All right. So thank you, everybody, for listening. We will be back next week. NYKnicksPodcast@gmail.com is our email. NYKnicksPodcast on Patreon, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And there's links on all those places to our Discord. Join our Discord. You could chat with us when we're not doing shows. You could join the show. We have a voice channel, so you can call in.
Before next show, the Knicks got Portland and Memphis. What do you think?
Portland and Memphis. I think they split 1-1.
Tough matchup, both of them.
It is.
They got to beat Portland.
I'm just going to say the Knicks are going to split for the rest of the season. They're a 500 team. They're going to split.
Yeah, right. The rest of the season, the Knicks are going to split the rest of the season.
Yeah. Do we want to plug our newsletter yet?
Why don't you just do it instead of asking me?
All right, we're coming out with a newsletter soon, probably sometime early next year. So it's a comedy newsletter. It's going to be fun. Would You Rather, is Two Truths and a Lie, a bunch of other stuff. So thebrinkofsanity.substack.com. You could subscribe there, and then you'll get a daily fun email in your inbox.
Yes.
The enthusiasm from Mark is, I think, sold everybody.
It'll be so much fun. You'll be like, this is as much fun as watching the Knicks win games.
This is the end. Say goodbye. You better go away. I'm gonna leave you. It's the end. Goodbye. Goodbye. Just leave me alone. Feels so good to say goodbye. I'm sick and tired and I'm saying goodbye. Goodbye, girl. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. Everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.